This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
The reason why many people are not really successful generally in life is because they have a lot of information that they've never applied. If you can just apply the one you know today, you'll be surprised about the transformation that will happen in your life. You know, many times we say, I know. I know you know. Why are you not doing something about it? Because you have not come to that place of understanding. When that information becomes yours, when you hone the information, when that information is right there in your heart, and everywhere you go, you start applying what you know. Developing a kingdom family requires knowledge, understanding, and the wisdom of God. That is God's order. So, I want us to think about why is this really important for us to understand as believers. Why is this important? God by himself created this divine organization. This was not created by the government. God initiated it. You know, I remember when... how many of us... Okay, well, I know many of us, if not of us, we've gone through this. If you drive, you know what you go through before you got that driver's license. Does that make sense? Okay, let me read what I Googled. Please listen to this process. Texas requires adults age between 18 and 24 to complete 6 hours theory. Please listen to this. 6 hours theory course as well as a road test. So you go for the course first and then you do what? A road test to confirm what you know. Does that make sense? Okay, and that's awesome. Adults over the age of 25 must pass a written test and the road test. That's interesting. So by combining the theory requirement with in-car driver training, so someone will be by your side and then be checking if you are driving the right way. And if you do it wrongly, they stop you. You have to come back. Thank God I didn't experience that. Because I prayed before I went there that I said, God, I don't want to return. So Safeway offers the 6 hours adult. Well, let's leave that. But here is this. I mean, here is the point. When I wanted to get my own license, marriage license, you know, I went downtown and nobody asked me any questions. Whether I've been trained. Nobody asked me if I went through any classes. Or maybe someone is right there by my side guiding me and asking me questions and checking whether the organization that I was about to start then, if I have the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom to run it. No one asked me. They gave me the certificate. And when they gave it to me, I told my wife, I said, you see the difference? God will help us in this. Government did not create this organization. God created it. And that's why we need to understand the mind of God. So that means the world cannot give us the templates on how to build a kingdom family. We need to understand what God really wants. Knowledge, understanding, and what? Wisdom. And God has given us a manual. I remember when my wife gave me this iPad as a gift. The first day. This iPad came with a manual. But the first day, seriously, I did not check the manual. I did not. Yeah. I did not. The first day, I was trying to figure it out. I turned it on. You know, in my head, I thought, okay, I should charge it at least for, you know, some, for some hours and then turn it on. I was figuring that out in my head. And then I turn it on eventually. The first day, I was trying to connect it with my iPhone, and I did everything. Okay, I didn't get a lot of things. And I asked her, hey, babe, could you please, I need your help. You see, I was asking for help. And the manual was right there in front of me. I had the box just by my side, but I did not check it. So I went to meet someone. Please help me. So, and I continued the first day, the second day, the third day. Then I came back to my senses. I said, hold on. Let me check the manual. Then I took the manual. I started reading it. Seriously, the moment I started reading the manual, I did not go back to my wife. I knew exactly what to do. So she called me later. Do you still need my help? I said, I got it. That's exactly what the Word of God does. Many times we're trying to figure things out. How do I do it in marriage? We're trying to look for A, then we call a friend, then we, and we're trying to figure things out. Please, if you have repeated error for years, you don't have 10 years of experience in marriage, you only have 1 year. If you have repeated the same error for 10 years and you have never changed, that means you have 1 year of experience, not 10 years. Stop counting. Because every year, there should be transformation. Something should be happening. There should be a new change, a new decision on how to make things better. Am I becoming better? You know, we do birthdays, fantastic. Then are you growing too? Or just counting numbers. Every product of God has its own do's and don'ts. And we need to understand the mind of God behind his product. And marriage is God's product. Because the producer has an original intent. It is called truth. And in John 8, chapter verse 32, that you shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. So the truth there is the original intent, original message, original idea of God, why God started it. All we need to seek is to seek the truth and to look for the truth. As we read, that means when we understand God's mind, the Bible tells us that the rooms will be filled with what? Rare and beautiful treasures. So that means if I have the knowledge, I have the understanding, and I also have the wisdom to apply God's knowledge, God's mind. That means the rooms. That means everywhere will be beautiful. Rare means something that is scarce, something that is extraordinary, something that is expensive, something that is an example. That's why when we want to buy, a beautiful, rings, gold, and you see how they pack it. They don't just put it everywhere. When you see all the gold everywhere, I want go and check it. It's probably not original. You see them everywhere, not boxed. Not in a well-kept place where you have to look for the keys first before you open it, and then they call the manager because someone is keeping the keys, because they have to make sure that they are all well-kept. Why? Because they are rare. And that's what God wants our marriages to be rare, to be the example, so that when the world sees it, the world will be like, ah, please, I need help. I want to be like yours. I want my marriage to be like yours. Please. Because they are seeing something. something about our marriages. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Pastor shared this last week. Provide for his own. Okay? So what does that mean to provide? That means to provide for your family, whether you are a mother or you are a father, to provide for your family. Everyone has, you know, different responsibilities in marriage, and it's important for us to understand God's mind for your, I mean, according to your own responsibility, to understand what God really wants you to do in the marriage. As a man, what is your own responsibility, or what are your own responsibilities? And as a woman, what are your own responsibilities? What are the things that God really wants you to do? Because your family is your first test. It's your first test when it comes to relationship with God. Let me repeat that. Someone didn't catch that. Family is your test of your relationship with God. And you should not succeed in life and then lose your family. Though many people are succeeding in life and they've lost their families. And they are claiming that I'm a believer and I have relationship with God. And that comes first. That comes first. We know all the responsibilities. Okay, if you missed the two teachings Pastor did, go and watch them. We have all of them there. So produce good seeds from your family. That's what God wants us to produce. Good seeds. Malachi 2:15. The Bible tells us that God hates divorce. God wants us to produce good seeds from our families. That means your family should be a source of good seeds for God. My family should be a source of good seeds for God. And what is a seed? Every seed has a potential to become a forest. So if my family produces a good seed, that means that seed can be planted and then reproduce after itself to become a forest. Now here is the question. Is your family producing good seeds? Is my family producing good seeds? Two men or two women can produce good seeds. No. That's not God's template. That's the word template. And the word never created this product. God created this product. God made this product. So, Malachi chapter 4, if you read verse 5 to 6, the last chapter, if you read the last verses there before you jump into Matthew 1:1, I want us to know something here that is very important. Let me just read real quick. Look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah. Please listen to this. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives, his preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. Now, here, introducing the Messiah, talking about Jesus. Then there is a transition into Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 here, talking about the genealogy of Jesus, that this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, please, don't miss this. I did a research on what God is really talking about here. And I was praying. I said, God, hold on. I think fathers have to be very, very careful when it comes to rebuilding kingdom families. God was telling me here, you know what? Fathers have to be very, very sensitive about God's agenda in building kingdom family. God has given every man I'm talking about fathers, because I think 60% or more than that is going to be focusing on fathers. I'm one. You know, do you know our problem, men? We think we are too smart. And many times we are ignorant. And even our pride sometimes. In fact, even when the ignorance is fighting the pride, the ignorance can't win. Because we don't want to accept that we are ignorant. That's our problem. But God is saying it here, that when the heart of the father is connected with the heart of the children, that things will be normal. That when the heart of the father is not connected with the children, that there will be curse in the land. I didn't say that. We just read it. Now, what are we talking about here? That made me to go further about the heart of the children, about the heart of the father. You know, we can see that even in Luke chapter 1 and verse 17, but we're not going to get into that because of our time. Here is the main thing. God wants every father to be very sensitive about building a kingdom family. You know, I did a research. Can you please show me that research? I want us to see these statistics from 2015 to 2021. 2015 to 2021. Can you see the statistics? Can you see that? How many men that we have in jail? And how many women? See the number of women and see the number of men. 551,200. And see women, 85,100. Okay, 2005 to 2021. Statistics. That means we have more men in prison. That made me to start asking questions. I've asked many people who have been to jails, who have been to prisons. I've asked them questions, and they said that we have more men in prison than women. And 90% of the anger of these men, 90% of their anger is about their fathers. The father that is not present, but alive. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 4. The Bible has given us a template here. I want to just read verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. To exasperate means to frustrate or irritate. Do not frustrate them. What does that mean? To frustrate. Okay. Holy Spirit, help us this morning. The Bible tells us that parents should train their children so that when they grow old, they will not depart from that way of the Lord. What is the meaning of the word train? Do you know that the word train, please, can you please project that? I want us to see this. Can you see this train? When you're talking about train, this train, that is not what we call train. This is the real thing that we call train. It is called locomotive. That is where we have the engine. The locomotive carries the engine and the power. Everything else that is attached is called cars. So all the cars are attached to the train. This is the train. Not everything. Everything is not a train. This is the train. And all the cars are attached to the train. The father is like this train. And the children and everyone in the family, those cars. So that everywhere the train goes, say, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. Can you say that as a father? Follow me. Or do you say, hey, boys, girls, go to church, and you are at home chilling. They are frustrated. They are wondering, hold on. Dad says, I should go to church. And dad is seated, watching TV. Dad is saying, read your books. But they've never seen daddy picked up a book before. They are frustrated. They're wondering what's going on. They're wondering. They can't follow. They can't connect. They are learning A in church. And when they get home, they are seeing B. And they're like, hold on. My Sunday school teacher told me, hey. And, okay, dad, this is what they told me. And now you are not looking for ways to make the teacher wrong so that you can be right in the presence of the children. Are you teaching them the truth? It is our responsibility as fathers to be the train. To be the train. Your kids can, if your kids cannot be in the presence of your friends, they are not good friends. If your kids cannot eat what you are eating, stop eating it. If your kids cannot drink what you are drinking, stop drinking it. If your kids cannot watch what you are watching at 2 a.m. on your phone or your TV, stop watching it. Fathers, our responsibility is to be the train and say, follow me. Let's go. God has given us a big task. It's a big task. But we cannot do it alone without Him. He has given us a manual. What do you want me to do, Lord? To be this train. You know, most kids and teenagers are frustrated because they are always asked to do what their instructors don't do. You know, they are not seeing the example. And the best form of leadership is modeling. So before you tell them to do it, make sure you're doing it. You know, I pray God help us in the name of Jesus. Hosea chapter 6 and chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed because of what? Lack of knowledge. Please don't stop there. Make sure you read everything. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. Fathers, please listen to this. Because you have forgotten the law of God, I will forget your children. Please don't transfer curses to your lineage. Because ignorance can be generational. Because all you know is what you are teaching. And you don't know. And you are teaching all that you know. Can you imagine? You don't know. And you are teaching all you know. Only God can intervene in that situation. You know, something happened to me. Me and my father. My father was an excellent man. He's a great man. He taught me a lot of things. He died in 2015. I will never forget the process of his death. The story for another day. But here's the point. My father smoked throughout his life. Well, don't let me say throughout his life. Well, I got to know when I was around 14, 15. And he sent me to buy cigarettes. I bought cigarettes for years, probably for more than 7 years. He was sending me to buy cigarettes. So I know many names. I don't know if the names in back there in Nigeria are different from the names here. I have no idea, and I'm not interested. But here is the point. Only God. And that is like 1 or 2% of the equation. What about the 99 or 98%? I never smoked. But you know what? Because I saw him smoking. Oh, for him, it was just a way of life, just relaxing, you know, sit down in the back here, in the front of here, just relaxing and stuff like that. And Somehow, I knew that smoking is not right. Somehow. Till today, I don't even know how I got to know that information. When I was like 16, 17, I knew. So I did not try it. Oh, one day, I tried it. Yes. You know, but I did not use the real cigarettes. So I, you know, it was I used the paper. And then I lighted the paper. I put it in my mouth. When I cough like 2-3 times, I say, what exactly is he enjoying this thing? Since that day, I never put it back in my mouth. Fathers, if you don't want them to copy you, stop doing it. I don't know, whatever it is, you know exactly what you're doing. And the children are frustrated. The teenagers are frustrated. They are growing and they are wondering, can I surprise you with something? See, if you do A, when they get outside, they will multiply the A. And then we will now be wondering, why is this child behaving like this? Oh, you taught them. They are picking it. You are the model. And they're grabbing something from what you are doing and what you don't do. All right? So, why training and instructions are important in families? I will just rush through this. You cannot instruct what you do not know and understand. If you don't know and understand, you can't apply. Please, this is for parents, not just fathers. Read the manual and what? And good books. Can somebody tell someone? Good books. Read the manual and good books. So when you're on your way after church, instead of stopping to grab a chicken, order a book on Amazon. Yeah. Order a book on Amazon on how to build a kingdom family. Order a book. Suspend that lunch. You cannot give what you don't have. Transformation must start with you. Must start with you. You know, you can teach what you know. But please don't miss this one. You will always reproduce who you are. See, if you, it is possible for you to have the head knowledge. It's like a professor of business that has never started a business and teach business in a university. I went through one. When I did my MBA, I asked the professor. I said, sir, do you have a business? He said, oh, I'm thinking about it. And he's a professor of business. All right. So, please, don't just be a professor in your family. Do the business. Tell someone, do the business. A family does not need a boss. It needs an instructor. Fathers, a family does not need a manipulator. It needs a trainer. A family does not need a leader who doesn't lead himself or herself. Parents, this is important for us. So three decisions as I end today. There are three decisions that every one of us must make today. Every one of us. And why do you have to make this decision? See, your family's future depends on how well you lead yourself. Your family, my family, depends on how well we lead ourselves. So stop complaining about someone else's family. Build yours first. And let it be an example. Let it be an example. And let it speak. Let it speak. Number one decision. I will not lie to myself even when the truth makes me feel bad about myself. Make that decision today. The worst thing in life is to start lying to yourself, thinking you know. And you know nothing about it. You're trying to figure things out. It's possible to be married for 10, 15 years and still trying to figure some things out. Check the manual. Read the manual. Lead the process. Fathers, lead the process. Be the one who is leading the process. Let us pray. Let us read. It's not yet time to pray. we are talking to fathers. Fathers, let us pray. Call the team together. Remember, this is the first organization that God created. And you are like the president. The president presides. And then you ask your vice president, what do you think? And you get advice. Then you make that decision as God leads you. And then remember your children, they are the stakeholders. You need to get them informed while you are making that decision. And then all your neighbors, they are your clients. Create good relationship with them. Number two decision. I will prioritize what I value most over what I want now. If you prioritize your family, you will value it. What's your goal? What's the vision? Where are we going? What are the values? What are the values? What are the kingdom values that we live by? And are you teaching the children? Are you living those values? And remember, our time. Okay? I'm going to round up now. Please, listen to this. It's important. Do not forget this. When you get home today, please, mothers, please, if we forget, okay? If we forget, ask us, okay? Where are we going? What's this family vision? What is this family mission? What are our kingdom values? Write them down. Review them. Teach your children. Let them memorize it. And stand by it. And live by it. It starts with you. Number three decision. I won't attempt to lead myself without support. You need people. Thank God for our life centers. Please, don't miss it. Don't miss your own life center. Okay? To do life together. You need support. Because our friends determine the direction and quality of our lives. Please, make that decision according to your destiny. And prioritize your family. Because you need people, I need people, you need community, I need community, we need ourselves, I can't do it alone, you can't do it alone. And there is a question for you as I round up now. Here is the question. Would you be happy with your life if at the end of your life, you had led your family with purpose, vision, God's character, faith, and love at the center of your life? Think about that question. What would be your answer? Yes. 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 I want God's character to be at the center. I want God's vision to be at the center. I want God's mission to be at the center. I want God's values to be at the center. And I want to lead my family. I heard a story. A story told by T.D. Jakes' wife. She wanted to invite her husband to speak. That was a few weeks after their wedding. And after their wedding, they got into an accident and she got paralyzed completely from head to toe. And the husband carried her and took her into their room. And she thought that, well, she thought there was no reason for him being with her, that I'm paralyzed already. So she thought that he would leave her. And one day, the man left his cave, his secret place, and went to the room and picked up this woman from her bed and put her on the wheelchair. Every day, he was doing that. And then one day, he told the wife, take a step. And the wife was like, no, no. She was really afraid. She couldn't take a step. And then, after like 2 days, he came back. And they carried the wife from the bed, placed her on the wheelchair, and told the wife again, take a step. And the wife looked at the husband. She saw that pain. she felt like, this man really wants me to be healed. But God, just take my life so that you don't let him go through this trouble. This man went back to his cave, and this man came back 2 months later. Honey, take a step. And this woman took one step. And when she took one step, she felt that strength. She, okay. And then the husband said, stop, just one step. Then, a few weeks later, told her again, take a step. Then she took one step, and then took another step. And eventually, she walked. My encouragement for you today, as I drop the mic, whether your marriage is 2 months or 5 years or 10 years, whatever that you know that you need to do, I'm encouraging you today, take a step. Even if you think you are at a road where nothing can be done anymore, I'm tired, God, I'm done. Please, go back to the manual. Take a step. God can heal that marriage. God can transform that situation. Like God transformed her, God can transform your marriage. And I pray in the name of Jesus that whatsoever that anyone or any marriage is going through, that God Almighty will do what only him can do. And your marriage will be transformed. Please tell someone, take a step. God bless you.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.